Galatians, right?
Galatians.
Yep. Galatians chapter 1. Right. Continuing in Galatians. And I think we got I think we got to verse 1, didn't we? We're doing good. anyway, it's always good to at least get an idea of what Paul was writing for. And we found out last week he wrote the Galatians because they had went back to the law. They had went back to performing instead of believing. They went back to the law instead of resting in His grace. And believers, we do have a tendency to do that, whether intentional or not. They were, as Paul called it, they were bewitched. You know what that means, don't you? They were deceived. They were tricked. They were sweet talked. You know, that's what enticed back into it. And most people, if you knew I was trying to deceive you, you'd be on guard, wouldn't you? But if, like Paul told Eve, he said that like Eve was deceived through the subtlety of the serpent, he says, so I'm afraid that the same thing has happened to you. He told the Corinthians that it looks like you've been pulled away by a smooth talker, by a deceiver. And the Judaizers bewitched them. They gave them a doctrine and it sounded good. It sounded good. Because you know what it did? It appealed to the flesh.
The definition here, it says, to bring evil on one by feigning praise.
By feigning praise. And that is, you know, he says, Michael, you're a faithful guy. Don't you want to be faithful to the Lord? You know, circumcision is part of that faithfulness. It's obedience to the Lord. It's a demonstration. It's an outward act of the inward transformation that's taking place in you. Don't you want to do that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he do it? What's that?
Come forward.
Come forward. Right. Yeah. It comes in different forms. You know, do you trust God? You don't have to tell me. Or every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, if you trusted the Lord, I want you to raise your hand.
Mm-hmm. Nobody will know. I'll be the only one that knows.
And then,
Or will a man rob God?
All those things that they put on you to prove. When you get saved, you don't get saved by works. You don't stay saved by works. And the Galatians, they got saved by grace, but they thought that the icing on the cake was works. They were taught that. We get saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You stay saved by grace through faith plus nothing. And the only reason you do any works is because you are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. That's the only way. But the Galatians and Paul, and you know what? One thing that Paul writes, he has to. Well, I looked at this again when I was reading it. Most times, and I did. You look at Paul; he's defending his apostleship, but he's not really just defending his apostleship. He's defending what would an apostle defend? Would defend
his
gospel,
his doctrine,
what he's saying. Because he had words. He had words to share. And what he's doing is he's defending not just his office, but he's defending what's being dispensed from that office.
His credibility.
A man in business, a man is no better than his
word.
Right? So when Paul comes, that's why he, first thing he says, let me tell you who I am. In verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, of, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He has to start off that way. They knew who he was. Didn't they know who he was? See, if they didn't believe him as an authority, they wouldn't believe his message. They wouldn't take his message as authoritative. Right?
Right.
Because if he tells you there's no other option, why would you look for another option? Let me rephrase that. If he says, I am the apostle of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Not of men. That, if he says not of men, that would rule out automatically who?
Everybody else.
Everybody else. Everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody else with what?
A message.
With a message. Right? Mm-hmm. Not of men, neither by man. I wasn't commissioned by a man. I wasn't sent by a man. I wasn't recommended by a man. I wasn't ordained by a man. I wasn't taught by a man. He'll get to that. He says, I got it from Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's a, in things I think, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. If he says, I got it from Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, you can't beat that, can you?
You know those two agree.
Look, right. You, definitely. Acts chapter 9, Paul said this. The Lord said this. Go, Acts chapter 9. And before his conversion, what was he doing? He was persecuting the church of God, right? Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, what? Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. All right, look at Acts 22. Verse 6. And it came to pass that I made my journey. This is Paul. He's rehearsing his conversion again. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And look down to verse 13. or verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The Lord, the God of our fathers, hath chosen thee that thou shouldest what? Know his will and see that just one, and shouldest what?
Hear the voice of his mouth.
Hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. All right, one more time. Acts 26. Verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee. What does that mean?
He doesn't have all the information yet.
He doesn't have all the information yet. He doesn't have all his what? Not marching orders, doctrine. He doesn't have all his gospel yet. Right? All right. And he goes on to talk about delivering him from the Gentiles and open their eyes from darkness and etc. So, and that goes with Corinthians where Paul said this. He says, it's doubtless for me to glory. He says, I will come. 1 Corinthians. I might as well take you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is it 12 or 11? Chapter, let's see. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 12. 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not, verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. He says, I will come to what?
Visions
and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. That's significant, but we'll have to come back to that in weeks to come. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, Paul is... I believe he's speaking of himself, but because of his humility, he wouldn't admit to that. But he says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. There's probably not another chosen man in Scripture that had more revelation than Paul. Not Moses, not Daniel, not Peter, but Paul. And he said, that's why he can say, I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man. He says, but God, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And I like how he added this on, who raised him from the dead. So he's telling us in verse 1 that his apostleship came from the glorified Lord. Not the one that walked on earth. Because he shared a lot of things with his disciples, didn't he? When he pulled them to the side, he said, this is for you to know. He revealed a lot of things to them. But Paul says, not even that one. Not even that Jesus. That's throwing you off. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said this. He says, though we have known Christ after the flesh. What does that mean, to know somebody after the flesh?
He walked here on earth.
He says, though we have known him after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him
more.
No more. What?
We're not to know him in that way.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that everything that he did on earth, all those great things that Christ did on earth, you're telling me, Paul, that we are not to recognize that? That's what he said. That's all we talk about.
Maybe he didn't know what God had in mind.
Maybe he didn't know. Who? Maybe
God
who?
God the Father, the Almighty.
Who didn't know?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he knew what he had in mind because he was God the Father.
Well, I know
walking
that.
God the Son, the God the Father.
Right.
But that's a good point, Roy, because that is when the Lord is walking around on earth to fulfill a purpose.
He's willfully divested himself of certain attributes.
Well, that's right. That's what Philippians starts with that. But he's walking on earth, and the scripture said he was an apostle. You know, Jesus Christ was an apostle?
Right.
And he said this, that he was a minister to who? Who are the circumcision?
Jews.
To the circumcision to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Okay, so when Paul can say this, though we have known him after the flesh, we don't recognize that ministry, because that ministry is what? It's the kingdom. It's an earthly ministry directed to earthly people with an earthly gospel.
I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's all he goes through, and he says that all the time. But Paul says this, the things that he did, he says we don't recognize him that way anymore. Now, it's coming up now. It's coming up. And I'm not, Christmas time is coming up.
Baby Jesus in a manger.
What do we do? All we think about is what?
Presents.
Well, when we think about Jesus Christ, all we think about is what?
His birth.
God says.
Yeah. His birth.
After the flesh.
Yeah.
Or
this
fad, it's kind of died down now. What would Jesus do? You know, everybody had a bracelet, WWJ.
Right.
What would Jesus do? Walking on earth. What would Jesus do in this situation, right? But again, Paul said this. He says, though we have known him after the flesh. It's a lot of account. God told me you should get baptized because Jesus got baptized. If Jesus walked, he would always say that, and pastors used to say this too. If Jesus walked 30 miles or wherever miles to get baptized, you can't get baptized? But you can't duplicate his activity on earth. You can't follow him. You can't imitate him on earth. That's why Paul said this, though we have known him after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. That, when he walked on earth, his ministry, it carried with it a certain gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Paul said this, now, I am an apostle by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. When he hit that cross, he fulfilled his ministry, this side of the cross. But what we don't know is that he has another ministry that began
with his resurrection.
That's why Paul said this. Well, we're not there. Look, go back to Galatians. When and that's why when he meets Paul on Damascus Road, with the background of the gospel that Jesus Christ preached, Paul should have been his first casualty.
He was definitely in line for blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
And he was, what he said, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." So when Stephen is in Acts chapter 7 and he says, "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God," when he met Paul, that could have been his first stump. But he didn't. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." And he says, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "Keep on going, and I'll tell you what I want you to do." And he told him this, that "I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to reveal some things to you. Things that no other man knew." That's his gospel. It's something, a gospel that nobody else knew. And it started at Damascus Road. And it started with God the Father, who is ready to reveal this gospel, and Jesus Christ, who is going to use Paul to do it. That's why he says, "I got it from him, and God the Father who raised him from the dead." All right. Galatians. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter. We'll come back to this again, but verse 11, Galatians 1:11. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Look at verse 15. He says, 13. "For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God," back to verse 1 again, "God the Father, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to do what? To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Paul said there, he says, "I was chosen that God would reveal his Son in me." Well, what was he doing on earth?
What was
God doing with Jesus Christ on earth? John chapter 1 said this, that the beginning was God, and God was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld his glory, right? He was revealed by Jesus Christ back then, wasn't he? Well, how can Paul come over here and says, "Now God picked me to reveal his Son in me"? Not after the flesh. This is a different type of revelation. He says, "I know you knew him this way as a minister to the circumcision, but I want to tell you about him as the head of the body." That's why he says, "When it pleased God to reveal his Son in me." How many saints right now, even though they get saved under Paul's gospel, they have no idea who Jesus Christ is today?
Most of them. Because it's not preached. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's all they preach. is the back in the Gospels.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, I do understand, you know, now, but what I always heard is that, you should do these things and more. I guess he was predicating towards the miracles.
Right.
So is that something that's yet to come, or?
They did do miracles while he was on earth and when he was absent.
Okay.
So that had nothing to do with this ministry today. That's another part of the gospel where we try to go back and pick up that ministry and do miracles, signs, and wonders. And he says, that's not my ministry. That's not how I want to reveal him now. That goes along with the question we were talking about earlier, is when he says God won't give you more than you can bear. Is how many people back in this left of the cross, they could get healed. Mm-hmm. We were right here. We got Roy right here. Lawrence. We found out Roy, as soon as we found out Roy had a kidney problem, if we were back here and we're believers, next week, guess what? Roy wouldn't have a kidney problem.
We'd be laying hands on him.
We believe in God for you, Roy. We wouldn't have to explain it away. Roy would come in next week and he would be healed. And Lawrence. And who, anybody else who had the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening today.
That was that gift for that particular time for those particular people, right?
It was that, right. It was a gift for that particular time for those particular people for a particular reason. The gospel, because it was a different gospel being preached. The gospel of the kingdom, what accompanied the gospel of the kingdom was healing. That was it. And you demonstrated those signs. That's
signs and wonders.
That's why, look at Matthew chapter 4. Well, you know what? Never mind.
Go ahead.
We won't go back there. I'll get too many rabbits to chase. But it was a different gospel. And what we do is we think today that we're operating under the gospel of the kingdom. But then you have to explain every main point of the gospel away. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely give, freely receive, sell all you have, go not to the Gentiles, order Samaritans. That's 8 points where every point we have to explain away today. Why he's not healed? Well, you don't have enough faith. Okay. Why you can't raise the dead? Well, they did over in Russia or somewhere way over in the Ugandan River or somewhere you can't find it. Or they say, well, this gospel would go into all the world and then say, you haven't won your hometown yet.
Yeah,
that's what they say. Your house, right. And we're supposed to be, we're going to win Memphis. Well, why are we not winning Memphis? Well, you have to start small. It's like, no, when he said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, that's what he meant. He didn't mean Memphis. He meant Jerusalem. And he didn't mean America.
It was a hand grenade.
So, when you recognize it for what it is, then you realize that there's no way we're operating under that gospel. And then when you find out, okay, he had 12 to do that. Well, where'd this one guy come from? And then this is the guy who pops up and he says, I'm a new man with a new message from God. Hold your hand. Look at Romans chapter 1. Hold your hand in Galatians and look at Romans chapter 1. Romans Romans 1. Watch this. I mean, this. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. There's a parenthesis there, so let's skip that. Go down to verse 3. The gospel of God concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for what?
Obedience to the faith.
Obedience to the faith among
all
nations for his name. Now, verse 2, he says, the gospel of God concerning his son, which was promised, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. They knew that he was to be resurrected. That's not a secret, that Christ would be resurrected, right? Y'all agree with that? The secret was what would happen after he was resurrected.
Verse 4.
That's
right. Verse 3 is
fleshly. Right. Because they knew that he was to be raised up to sit where?
On
David's throne.
Right.
That's why he said he was the seed of David. The seed of Abraham, the seed of David. And Paul is saying, wait a minute. He's higher than that. He's higher. In Ephesians, he said this, that God had raised him from the dead far above all heavens. Not on the throne in Jerusalem, but he's on the circle of the earth. He's far above all heavens. 1, 2, yes, sir.
When you say they knew he was to be resurrected, who is it they?
The scriptures told about his resurrection.
So the prophets do.
The prophets, yeah, they foretold about that. Now they didn't.
Right.
They didn't know. That's where. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch was coming back from Jerusalem.
Right.
And he's riding in the chariot.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the prophet. They were talking about Isaiah when he was there. They were coming back. He was reading it, and he's riding, and Philip catches him. And he says, understandest what thou readest?
How can I?
He said, how can I? I just left the synagogue. That's a testament right there from what they knew, what they didn't teach.
They didn't write.
They didn't teach him. They didn't teach him. He went all the way down and all the way back, and he still didn't know. That's what we do. We ride 50 minutes across town to our churches, sit there an hour, 2 hours, go in dumb. Come out dumb.
So the majority of the
Jews, right?
We need dumb come out dumb.
That's, and he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?"
Yeah.
And he took the same place where he was, and he began to talk to him and to show him Christ.
In Isaiah.
Right.
It was prophesied.
Christ.
He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. That's the same thing back in Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? He said this. He said, we esteemed him stricken of God. He had no form of comeliness that we should desire him. But he took upon him, he said, the infirmities of us all, and by his stripes we are healed. This is what Philip is talking about. And then he explained it so well that the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, I believe by grace through faith that I'm saved.
No.
He didn't say that, did he?
Uh-uh.
He went with the gospel. He said what?
I believe.
There's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He says nothing. If you believe, you can. That's not what we preach today, is it? Well, what happened? Where did the message go?
He died.
What? He was dead then and resurrected then.
It hadn't been revealed yet.
It was a different gospel that hadn't been revealed yet. We don't go to people, well, we do go to people and say that, but we shouldn't go to people and say, they don't say, well, there's water, what hinders me from being baptized? We say, you already been baptized. Did you know that? You already been baptized. I remember Perry, remember that when at the conference, one of the conferences, Perry said, God's in the dry cleaning business. I love that. He's no wet wash here. God's in the dry cleaning business. So, what was I going? What else was I talking about? The gospel that he was in Romans, the gospel
was the gospel. What the Jews understood to resurrection versus what Paul reveals that raised
from the dead.
Just for the sit on the throne of David. But.
Right. And he was raised, for a different purpose. And Paul said this. He says, my gospel is the same Jesus Christ. Same Jesus. Same resurrection. Mm-hmm. Different purpose. Different gospel.
He said he wouldn't build on another man's foundation.
He couldn't.
But it was still Christ.
It was still Christ. He said, this is the gospel of God. Something that God, when Paul writes in Ephesians, when he's got more and more revelation, he writes to them, he says, if you've heard of the revelation of the mystery, the revelation of the secret, that God has something in his mind, and he said it was hid in God. It was God's good news. Well, any news from God for believers is good news. But he said, this good news, God picked me to tell you about. Okay, Galatians. He says, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's another part of his gospel where he starts all his writings off. Excuse me, he said, grace and peace. And I heard a guy, he said this. He said, Paul uses grace and peace all the time because that was the formal greeting back in the day.
It's like shalom.
It's like shalom, right. That's kind of like our, hey, how you doing? That won't fly. You can go back in the history books and you see where people are walking down the street, grace and peace. They didn't do that. He said that because he didn't know what was going on here. Now, I know a couple right now. When they call me, that's what they say, grace and peace. But they know what's going on here.
Is it something about that particular order? You know, grace and peace. Without grace of God, you can't have peace?
Well, the significance is this, which goes back to your... To Paul's gospel is centered in his gospel, because number one, he's writing to everybody's guilty now, not just the Gentiles, but the whole world is guilty. And according to the gospel that was before, we were the enemies. Gentiles were enemies. Enemies don't get grace and peace. Enemies get wrath and justice. For judgment. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is like classes and classes, but I'm just going to say this and you might have to process it. But when you look at the time schedule, what the Jews were on, they fell right. Remember the image of Nebuchadnezzar? where he had those kingdoms, and they went down from Babylonian to Media Persia to Greece and Rome, right at those legs and the toes was the enemy that was usurping the Jews, which was Rome. Gentiles. When Jesus is on earth, he came and they were under Roman leadership right then. They were enemies. That's why they played on Jesus and they said, "We have no king but Caesar." They were going to get him for treason. So, but when the time ran its course, and when Paul got saved, they were still under Roman rule. Matter of fact, Rome had just getting ready to burn up the whole city. He saves Paul, and one of the letters, the first letter, spiritually, not chronologically, the first book that Paul writes is to who? To who?
The Romans.
The Romans. The Romans.
How about Thessalonians?
And he said to the Romans, what? Same thing he said to the Galatians. What?
Peace.
Grace and peace to you. To the Romans?
No. He was
to the ones that were killing?
He was a pattern.
To the ones that were killing us? We're killing them.
Yeah.
Well, how could God say grace and peace to the Romans when didn't he know what they just did?
Well, Paul was doing the same thing.
This one to the believers in Rome?
Yeah. Anyway, that might have been too. But he extended, that's God's official attitude towards the world.
Okay.
According to Paul's gospel, he said, I'm not on the judgment throne now.
Okay.
He says, now it's nothing but grace and peace. It's a time frame. It's this at this time right now. The program has changed. God is telling them that. And it's right there. And he starts with the very people who he should have been killing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And he writes to them and he says, grace and peace to you Romans. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. We're not mad. Wow. That's awesome right there. And every one of his letters say that. Grace and peace. That's God's attitude right now, even today. There's a guy in class, he always said this. The tsunami, God's punishing. Hurt, God's punishing. Tornado, God's punishing them. Flood, God's punishing them. Sandy, God's punishing them. Like, wait a minute. I'm like, Paul, now this issue was settled thousands of years ago. Don't you see that this is grace? It's a time of grace right now. We live in the dispensation of grace, where God is doing nothing but dispensing grace. He can't sit down and tell me that he's dispensing grace to me and then turn around and send a hurricane or send a flood. Or send a volcano, or send a tsunami, or tidal waves, or whatever else, you know.
What is the purpose of that happening if the Lord is in control of the world?
What's the purpose of that happening?
Well, because the Lord has let the lesser Lord be in charge of this world for a period of time, and we're in charge. And I guess that's on a big scale, but on a little scale, people always ask me, they say, well, if the Lord loves us so much, how come that little baby got hit by a car? That's because we told him we wanted to be in charge. From the time of Adam and Eve, we said, we don't want you telling us what to do. We want to be our own gods. And we do, until something goes wrong. And then we say, God, how could you let something go wrong?
Right.
So in other words... So Satan has control of the winds right now, is what we're saying? Or we're not saying
that?
Also, just natural, this world's put in motion. There's certain, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. I'm not saying it's a curse, but things that happen, there's cause and effect to everything. That's just the law of nature. Mm-hmm. And
the thing
is that part of grace is that we're left to our own devices. Just like we're left to make our decision to believe in Christ or not, we're left to our own devices. Guess what's going to happen when we're out of here? Do you think a tornado's going to attack us? What if you took a rocket to, which is the fieriest planet?
The fieriest planet?
Saturn. Well, to the sun. What if you took a rocket and just went into the sun?
That's a star. That's a star. But anyway.
I mean, you'd burn up, right? So so you're free right now. You can do that if you want to. But then you get to around and say, God, how come I burned up when I went into the sun? Because
and with that too, look at Romans chapter 8, and it'll give a little more light on it too. Now there was a time when God when he did control the weather, and he would send a flood, he would send the rain, he would send earthquakes. He would do those things when he was operating with a nation, the nation of Israel. And he told them, he says, if you do these things, I'll do these things. He says, and even to the weather. We were just talking about this. He said this, will a man rob God? And he said, you rob me in the tithes and offerings. And then he said, how do we rob you? And he began to explain it to him. And he said this, prove me and see. See, won't I do what?
Open the windows of heaven.
Open the what?
Windows of heaven.
What do you think he meant when he said that?
Open the windows of heaven.
And do what? And pour out a blessing. What? What?
Rain.
Uh-huh. Well, we think material. We always think, he going to get. Because what they were doing is all physical. Mm-hmm. Crops. It was crops. It was agricultural. Thank you. Right. So when he said, I'll open the windows of heaven, they knew what he meant. So we have to twist it now to make it fit. Right. We think material of things.
And also with Adam and Eve called to fall, it affected his whole planet.
There you go. Romans 8. Romans 8. The whole creation is under the curse.
Right.
He says in verse 18, for I reckon, not guessing, he's estimating this. It's a logical deduction. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath rejected the same in hope. Do you notice that he calls the creation the creature?
Mm-hmm. What do you read?
8:18. Right. And you know why he says that? He tells you that? Because the earth is alive. Do you know that?
It's alive, and it's subject to the first
and
second laws of thermodynamics.
Not even on the studious side. It's alive because God made it alive.
Yeah.
He said, what'd you say, James? No. Oh, he said this. He says, it was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Even the earth is waiting for us.
Groaning.
Groaning. He says, verse 22, For we know that America,
the whole
Israel,
whole creation,
Japan,
the whole creation,
New York, the whole Hawaii.
Well, that's included.
Hawaii. What's another beautiful spot? Fiji, Fiji, Mexico, or any place. The whole creation, what? Groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So there you go, James, is this. He says, those things happen not because God is on a war path, because God is on a vendetta, he's pronouncing judgment on us because of sin. Those things happen because the creation, like Roy said, is cursed and is waiting, just like we're waiting.
You mean that tornado coming right at me wasn't sent by the Lord?
No.
Just part of this world.
God is not inflicting pain on us.
That's what I was going to say, Dan. We would all be taken out there because we all, sin.
Right.
Exactly.
What if he did?
If he did, we wouldn't be here.
Take out Reno Nevada.
You would.
I mean, God does what he wants to do.
But see, and that's what I'm talking about is when you talk about the gospel, where Paul starts talking about the gospel, he explained these things to us, and we won't say things, Roy, like, well, God could do that if he wanted to. He won't. He's already told us he won't do it in his word. I'm not doing that. We can leave out right now and a bomb could drop on Tennessee. And all the other 51 states would say what?
Tennessee was cursed.
That's God, like New Orleans when the.
Right.
So okay, New Orleans today. Why would God nickel and dime us? If he was upset, why not just do the whole thing in one shot?
So did the earth become cursed when Adam failed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And this is Genesis, right, chapter 3. So that curse.
Thistles and all of it. You want to get it by the sweat of your brow.
All of that. And even, it's just, like I said, it's.
You were in paradise.
It's things that happen that when you know where you are. When you know what the gospel was and you know what the gospel is now, then you'll know that people will have God doing things and he'll say, it's not me. I didn't do that. We put it, and the devil too. We put a lot of things on the devil too that he'll say, I didn't do that either. I would like to, but I didn't do that. But it's all based on information. And you get information from the person who God sent with the information. And what Paul is doing is just one small, tiny aspect of that information is what the Galatians turned away from. And I could see where. I won't nickel and dime you from here on out. So I might just be kind of cursory. So we can go through Galatians.
We're looking to be edified. You do a very good job of it.
It's so much information that we have to go back and get so you can appreciate grace.
Yeah. And we're appreciating it all.
Anyway, we'll stop right there.
Oh, that's, man. Stop your report.
Oh, man.